Last Sunday, I introduced, while we're continuing to study the book of Thessalonians, to broaden out a little bit that section in that epistle that deals with future things, with end-time events. And today, I want to answer the question, what happens after death, especially focusing on what happens to believers after they die. And next Sunday, we will look at what happens when Jesus returns. All of us will have the experience of someone who's a believer who dies. We've either had that experience perhaps more than once, or we will have it. And it's crucial that we know the answer. And the answer, of course, is that those who die in faith go to be with Christ. It's quite an answer and an encouraging one. I remember after my grandfather led me to faith in Christ, he also showed me with his example and with his teaching how to live for Christ. And I remember the day that I walked into his hospital room and I knew that he would be very soon with the Lord Jesus Christ. I could tell that my papa was a bit afraid, and I wanted to encourage him. We had prayed many, many times together. It just an amazing example, and what a wonderful way to talk about Jesus with someone you admire. But I could tell he was nervous. I could tell he was a little bit afraid. And so I said, Papa, can I ask you a question? Do you still love Jesus? And he smiled and he said, I still love Jesus. And because of what we had been reading in the Bible, I said, and just what does Jesus promise you, Papa? And he said, no one can snatch me out of his hands. And I said, Papa, can you think of anything else? And he said to me, he will come and take me home when I die. He sounded pretty confident, and he should have, because that is exactly the promise that Jesus gives to all of us. And that's our theme for today. I want to read a passage from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 26. If you listen carefully and follow along with the reading, you'll be able to see that the Apostle Paul is having what we might call a sort of spiritual tug of war. Should he die to go be with Christ, or should he remain in the service of Christ? He's really trying to get at an answer. Hear the word of the Lord. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on my account. You see, the apostle was in prison. He was uncertain as to the outcome or to the sentence that he would receive. Would his life be taken from him? Would he become a martyr for his faithfulness to Christ? Or would he be released from prison so he could continue to preach the gospel and strengthen the faith of believers as he continued his ministry? And he says, I was torn between the two. To depart and be with Christ is, he says, better by far. And that's the verse for today. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But before we look at what it means to gain Christ in death, we ought to at least give a few moments to that opening phrase. For to me to live is Christ. If you read the life of the apostle, it had been fully devoted to Christ to loving and serving Jesus Christ. And so the verse reads, "For to me to live is Christ." It means the whole of my life belongs to Christ. Christ is my life. My life without Jesus Christ is pointless, meaningless, and empty. Jesus is to be the sum and substance of my life in this world. Simply put, what I wake up for each morning, what energizes me through the day, what dominates every moment of my day, what consumes me and compels me and drives me until I fall asleep at night is to be this: for to me to live is Christ. I am to live primarily for Christ. I am to live exclusively for Christ. Every aspect of my life is to be for the glory of Christ. And the reason I've said it in such a personal way, I, is because the apostle says, "For to me." And it applies to all of us. This is why, as a believing people, we are to give as much energy as is possible to learning everything we can possibly know about Jesus Christ, in dependence on the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. And we should want to love the Lord Jesus Christ with deep, extravagant love. We want to love Him from the deep chamber of our souls. And we want to live to reflect Christ, to glorify Christ, to promote Christ in the life of others. This is the very reason why the Apostle Paul says, "For to me," this is a very personal matter and a personal commitment, "for to me to live is Christ." I can tell you, though he came to faith later on in his life, my grandfather lived to serve Jesus Christ. And today, two of his grandsons are standing in front of congregations with the privilege of preaching the gospel, knowing that we are the Spirit's fruit through Him. Give your life to Jesus Christ the Lord. Submit to Him. Live for Christ. And He will do all that He wishes to do through your life for His purposes and glory. And so that is the first thing. For to me to live is Christ. And then he gets to this hope, this assurance: to die is gain. And the question is, what do we gain? Well, a lot of benefits, of course. But the very first benefit is that when believers die, they go immediately to be with Christ. For when he says gain, he is talking about gaining the conscious presence, the instant conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had Christ in this world, and we lived for his purposes and glory. But when death happens for the believer, we go to live with the Christ that has saved us and whom we've loved while living in this world. In every sense of the word, the promise of Scripture is the presence of Christ. Now, if you will bear with me for a brief moment, I would like to do a little bit of spade work, a little bit of theological cultivation, if you will. When the Bible talks about living with Christ through all eternity, the word that is most commonly used is glorification. We go to live in glory with the glorified Savior. In that sense, the Bible says, "Whom he loved, he glorifies." Now, what you need to understand, and I don't think this is difficult at all, is that glorification has two parts to it. It has an intermediate state, and it has a final state. Simply put, the final state of our glorification is when the Lord Jesus comes back, and He is coming back. When the Lord Jesus appears in glory and all marvel over Him, He is going to raise the dead. And He's going to join our bodies and our souls together that we may be with the Lord forever. That's the final state. It's when Jesus returns. But in the middle, in the intermediate state, what happens when a believer dies is that their body remains on earth to be dealt with, but their soul goes into the immediate presence of Christ. We are with Him so far as our souls are concerned. And Paul makes this especially clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Relish these verses as I read them for you. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Isn't that a thrilling verse? As long as we are at home in the body, that means our spirit and our body are together. We are away from the Lord, so we live by faith, not by sight. But there is coming a day. There is coming a day when we will die and our soul will be separated from our body. And Paul says, we what? Did you see the verse? We prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. He says in that Philippians passage, what? It is better by far. He's raising the expectation of being with the Lord to the superlative degree. If there's anything that ought to thrill the soul, if there's anything that ought to make our heart throb with excitement, it is better by far to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. It is better by far to gain the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we take these two verses seriously, on the basis of these two verses, we can confidently say that when we die, we go home to be with the Lord. We enter immediately into His glorious and splendid presence. We find ourselves overwhelmed by His beauty, enthralled by His supremacy, enriched by unbroken joy, and we find ourselves serving the Lord with gladness and singing His praises forever. A year or so ago, I read a little testimony about a young man who died of cancer, and he had only been a Christian for about 2 months. And he had lived such a tragic moral life, engaged in the grossest kind of sadness, that his life had reached a point where he was disowned by his parents. But someone who took time to love him and explained the gospel to him over time, this young man became a Christian. And some Christians surrounded him as Christians should and discipled him and encouraged him. And one day he received the dreaded diagnosis that his life was coming to an end. And he was in his hospital bed and he could see through a mirror reflecting back his friends as they would come to the hospital to visit. And they would have sad faces. But once they turned the corner into his bedroom, into his hospital room, they would put the smile on the face. And he knew they loved him. That's why they were sad. He knew they wanted to encourage him. That's why they smiled. And he said, come into my room today. And he said, let's think of the promises of God. And he quoted Romans 8.
for the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. He quoted the verse from 2 Corinthians that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. He looked at these friends of his and he says, do you remember what Jesus says? If you trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming for me through death, that I may be where he is. And then he tried to set up in his bed, the testimony goes. He pointed his fingers at his friends and says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is as simple as that. It is to be preferred. It is far exceedingly above our fondest imagination, that when a believer dies, it is all gain. It is not soul sleep, waiting in unconsciousness till Jesus returns. It is to be consciously and joyously in the presence of the Holy One. That's the first thing we need to know, but there is something else. When believers die, they are immediately perfected in holiness, which means we become perfectly righteous. We do no more battle with sin, for sin cannot touch us. We are utterly and finally and fully free of any kind of sin. There is a passage of Scripture I want to read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It is a section that has some complexity to it, for he is alluding to various realities of the Old Testament. Essentially, it's a passage that pictures the earthly church, us, coming into the presence of God for corporate worship, while it reminds us that all of heaven, the angels of heaven, the people of heaven, always gather corporately to worship Christ. And listen for how he defines the believers who are already in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Now listen, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. The Christians, the believers in heaven, their spirits have been made perfect in righteousness. And what that means in practical terms is never again will you have to put on the full armor of God to resist Satan. Never again will you have to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For temptation will have no power over you, nor will the evil one. Never again will you have to ask God to forgive you because you have sinned with your tongue to the hurt of someone else, or you have judged harshly and without compassion. Never again will you struggle with the impulses of your ongoing sin, but you will be able to worship God. Think about this for a moment. With an unsinning heart. You recall the testimony of Johnny Erickson Tada, who, when she was but a teenager, was paralyzed from the neck down. And she has lived these long years ministering faithfully in her wheelchair. And she said that people will often ask her, I bet you can't wait for your resurrection body. for that moment when you can sing and dance and jump and walk around in the glories of heaven. And she said, well, that'll be wonderful. But the supreme thing I covet is that I will see Christ and worship Him with an unsinning heart. Christians are made perfect in holiness in heaven because it's the holy city, populated by a holy people, ruled by a holy king. And there is no room for unholiness. That is what happens to us after death. And there's a third thing that we dare not miss. That when believers die, they go immediately into glory. To be in that glorified place and to be before that glorious Savior. Go in your mind just for a moment to maybe a few hours before Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and then He was crucified. There is a moment in John's Gospel when Jesus is all alone, and He's praying. He's praying for you. He's praying for all who will believe the gospel. And as He moves toward the end of that long prayer in John 17, listen to what Jesus asked the Father to do for you. It is so wonderful. In John 17, verse 24, these words, Father, I want those You have given to be with Me where I am, to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. When we get to heaven, the Father says, show them My glory. Show them the weightiness of My significance. Show them My burning purity and exalted majesty. Let them see My glory. Beloved, every single time a believer dies, God the Father answers that prayer request offered by His Son, that we see His glory. Now, you know, this word glory, it kind of has a, how do you sort of define it approach? It means the heaviness of God, the weightiness of God, the sum total of all of His majestic beauty is His glory. And I can't help, and you'll have to pardon me, I refer to it so much. But if you think of that moment when Isaiah sees the glory of God, he goes into the inner sanctum of heaven and he sees God high and lifted up. The train of His robe fills the temple, meaning there's no room for a rival king. There's no way His eternal reign will be toppled. And the seraphs are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah is humbled. What we must never forget, is that in John 12, verse 41, we are told Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. The eternal, holy God on the throne of heaven, the center of heaven's praise, is Christ. And one day that Christ, that holy, holy, holy Christ, left that throne of glory. He came into our world and He got up on the cross altar. And that God, who knew no sin, died in our place. And He ascended back to that place of supremacy and glory. And whenever a believer dies, we see the holy, holy, holy Christ. And Revelation 4 reminds us that we will mix our voices with the voices of the angels. I can't wait till they hear my voice. Holy, holy, holy is the glorious Lord Jesus. And we will live in glory forever. And guess what? It won't be one brief moment of excitement that dies out over time so that it becomes eternal boredom. No. Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. One pleasure following on the heels of another. One experience of joy after another. In your presence, fullness of joy. It's not never-ending sameness. It is ever-increasing, ever-intensifying, ever-expanding joy of looking at and learning about and loving heaven's King, Jesus. We gain a lot. His presence, holiness of life, glory. But there is a final state. And so I add this point. Believers, when they die, await the resurrection of the body. Again, we must prove all that we list by Scripture. Philippians 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. The final state will happen, as we will see in Thessalonians next week, when the risen Christ returns and He raises the dead. And join soul and spirit, soul and body back together that we may be with the Lord forever. But we need to close. And I want to close with an honest question. And if I understand anything in the Bible, I believe it's a necessary question. Are you ready to die? I will never forget back in 1979, 42 years ago, I was sitting in a chapel service at Columbia Bible College, and our professor stood up to preach the morning sermon, and his sermon was simply titled, Death. And in that sermon, I remember it as clear as day, he had 3 points to his sermon. He said to us, you will die somewhere, maybe on a highway, maybe in a hospital or anything in between those. You will die somehow, maybe suddenly or maybe over time. Who knows what will bring about your ultimate death? And then he said, you'll die sometime. You just don't know when. Tomorrow? Or in your old age? And there was a kind of soberness throughout the day on the campus in lunch and dinner time. And it's because college-age kids that way don't often contemplate for a long stretch of time what it means to die. But a few days later, another professor had a son who had already graduated from our school. His wife of a few months was still in our school. And his life was taken on a highway, committed to being a medical missionary. Why, God? You see, and that professor preached in chapel, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you ready to die? There is only one way to be ready to die, and that is to belong exclusively to Jesus Christ. You must come to Him. You must be before Him. With His cross and resurrection in view, and you must confess that you are a sinner. Oh God, I have robbed you of glory. I am a sinner who deserves justice after death. I want you when I come to die. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. and you must commit your life to Him. You must long to make this true of your life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I read the testimony of a Puritan who died in 1631. He had been suffering and dying for a long time. He got up one morning and asked his daughter Martha to fix him an egg. Oh no, it was so delicious. He asked Martha to fix him a second one. And as she was just about to crack the egg, he shouted to her and said, "I don't want an egg, I want my Bible." And she brought the Bible to him. He said, "Open it to the 8th of Romans and place my finger on verse 31. Not even death can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord." And he said, "Martha, is my finger there?" And she said, "It is." And he said, "I have breakfast with you this morning. I shall have supper with Jesus." And a few hours later, he died. I am not for a moment suggesting that every believer at death has that pleasant and triumph of an experience. It's just not true. What I am saying is every believer has a right to that kind of confidence. That to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. The verse there in 2 Corinthians says, we are confident, confident twice. We are confident. And so, we will think next week of the final moments that really become the first moments. For Jesus is coming back. Let us pray. Eternal and Holy Father, for your glory, we worship you this morning with sinning hearts. But thank you that even with sinning hearts, you still receive our worship. And you rejoice over us, as one of the prophets say. Make us more and more holy. May our lives be more and more characterized by, for to me to live every day is Jesus, it's Christ. And make us to know with joyful certainty that to die is to gain Christ. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto you be all praise and glory forever. Amen.